You've tuned in to Steadfast Hope, and we're so glad that you've joined us. I'm Steve Lawson. This is Kent Steinbeck, and give me five, keep me alive. And we are looking at a passage of Scripture today. It's in the book of Revelation. It's Revelation chapter 2, verse 3. If you can access your Bible, please turn to this passage. Kent, the title of this is Persevering in the Faith. Persevering in the faith, and it should be obvious why we're calling it this. And I forgot to mention, we're coming to you from Herb's House, a coffee shop here in Dallas, Texas. And so Jesus is addressing the church at Ephesus, Kent, and he's giving really an audit report to the church, how they're doing. And he begins by commending them. And there's something for us to learn even in this, to commend and encourage others before we speak a correction. Sometimes people's tendency is to immediately go to a correction. That's kind of hard to take. Instead, Jesus, who's obviously all wisdom, he begins by affirming and encouraging what they're doing right before he moves on to what they need to correct. There's something for us to learn about marriage, about parenting, about relationships with people, and I just say that in passing. But this is what Jesus says to affirm the church in Ephesus. You have perseverance and have endured for my name's sake and have not grown weary. This is so commendable for a church. And I think of the saying, it's not how you start the race, it's how you finish the race. And how easy it is to start a project or start a task but then grow weary in the process and not finish it all the way to the end, and to kind of maybe give up on it. Well, this church at Ephesus, it was almost like there were no brakes on their car. I mean, once they started in a direction to serve the Lord, they carried through with it the whole way. And he says, you have perseverance. And that word perseverance carries the idea of steadfastness and even the fact that they would just not stop until the job was done. They would bear up under pressure is the idea of this. And that reminds us, it's not always easy to serve the Lord. I mean, it requires sacrifice and it requires time and effort and energy. And this church, they had perseverance in this. They held up under the pressures. And then he adds, and have endured. And that just reinforces this word perseverance. And endurance just simply means they kept on keeping on until the job was done. What a remarkable church. And they had the right motives for doing this, Kent. It says, for my name's sake. So they weren't doing it so that their church would be seen as great in the community. They were doing it so that Christ would be seen great in the community. They did it for the glory of God and for the glory of Christ. And isn't that why we serve? 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatsoever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all for the glory of God. And that's, Jesus commends them. And then he adds, and have not grown weary. And this word weary was used in the previous verse for toil. And here it's used as a verb. And what it means is they persevered and they endured until they were exhausted, until they had nothing left to give. And the idea here is they expended all the energy that they had to give in serving the Lord. And again, Kent, this isn't their vocational job. This is in their personal ministry. I mean, we can understand this if this was their job out working in a field or in a blacksmith, but this is over and above even their vocational job. As they come to church And as they interact with one another in the body of Christ, and as they look at unbelievers in the world around them, man, they're just serving and serving and serving and serving the Lord. And we would almost have to say to this church, you know, you probably need to rest a little bit or have a Sabbath principle. But, I mean, they just had their foot to the pedal and pressing down, and they were their ghost switch was on, and they were just constantly serving the Lord. And Jesus is commending them. He's not reeling them in. He's not pulling back on them, on the reins. He's actually affirming them and commending them for a job well done. So, Kent, we need to talk about this. You and I both serve in a church where there's a lot of people got their shoulder to the plow, serving the Lord. And you know what? It has an encouragement to me. It makes me want to serve more as I see others going the second mile and the third mile in reaching out.
I've heard it said, just get their gifts activated, right? Just get out there, get off the bench, get their gifts activated. You know, Steve, I was listening to you here, and I'm thinking maybe what our audience is thinking, wow, these people had a work ethic.
Yeah.
I mean, work. They defined a work ethic, didn't they?
They did.
Do you think our culture has a different view of work maybe than some back in ancient times?
No question about it, Kent. Today we live in a world of leisure.
Even in the church, right?
Even in the church, it's a spectator support, spectator sport. We'll just give more money and we'll hire more people to do the work.
And so, go and take.
Yeah, so I can just sit in the pew and just listen rather than me getting out of the pew and onto the field and in the game. Kent, during the Reformation of the 16th century, there came a Protestant work ethic. And the reason for that is they realized everything that I do, whether at work or at church or at home, I'm to do it for the glory of God. And that so elevated their motivation that on the last day, the Lord will examine their work. And there will be rewards for those who poured themselves into what God himself had assigned them to do. You know, Ephesians 2:10 does say he has foreordained good works for us to walk in. And so there rose a new commitment out of the Reformation to do every little task as unto the Lord himself, knowing he'll review it on the last day. We need a new Reformation. We need that mindset. I mean, I think if we could, we'd have a three-day weekend. We'd have
a four-day
weekend.
Yeah.
And we would do as little as possible. Our goal would be to retire, you know, at age 45 and just get out of as much work as possible. That's not the picture we see
here.
It's
really not, is it?
It's
not. Total opposite.
And or people in the church who find excuses to always be gone or absent whenever it's work day or wherever there is a need and it's expressed from the pulpit, but there's not the response to step in and to sign up and to help or just be walking past people who are all around us. So we've got to have an adjustment of our whole mindset that I'm here to serve others and to serve the Lord by serving others.
So follow-up question as our audience listens. And they say, you know, we're thinking, how do we get involved in the church? There's always things to do. And we think about setting up and taking down or working in the nursery or doing the audio visual, whatever there is, there's things to do.
Yeah.
But also, would you say getting into people's lives, getting into their issues, their problems, and pouring yourself into them and even in trying to help them deal with whatever they may be facing, is that part of our work too?
Oh, absolutely, Kent. And more important probably than mowing their yard is really helping encourage their heart and their soul to be able to press on in their Christian life and to sit down with someone and to listen to what their problems are and what they have to say. Kent, I think a good rule of thumb is to always be asking questions of other people and letting them get their life out on the table, and then stepping into these situations. Well, I could meet this need. I could help you with this. Or I need to build you up in this area. I mean, you just can't even put a price tag.
So that's convicting, Steve, because sometimes when people are in difficult situations, it's easy to want to walk around them and not go get into that situation with them, because it's difficult, it's heavy. But this is what this church was doing, right?
Man, they were doing it. They were ministering to one another. Mm-hmm. They were upholding one another. They were serving one another. I mean, this was the kind of church you want to be in and to be a part of. And people were praying for one another.
Yeah.
And all of these things. Much effort being expended. So, Kent, I think the application is very obvious. Mm-hmm. That Christianity is not a spectator sport.
Yeah, that's really good.
There's a place in the starting lineup mm-hmm. for every believer, mm-hmm. and we've got to be. We keep using athletic metaphors, but you got to have a game jersey on. You got to be on the field, and you got to be all in.
Yeah, and we don't need a church-wide program to do it. You can meet someone at church. You can walk out with someone, sit next to someone.
I think so many times it's better if there's not a set program, that it's just organic.
I like
it's just
that.
Happening as mm-hmm. life unfolds. Mm-hmm. So
that's why it's important to go to church.
It is. You gotta be in church to be aware of how can I serve others. You can't be aware of that on live stream.
That's good.
So, well, I want to thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. We've talked about some important things today about the activity that needs to be taking place in our spiritual lives. And it's challenged me. And, Ken, I feel like I've got both oars in the water, but still, there's more that I can do to serve the Lord, and I need to be wise. We all need to be wise about how we expend our time and use our gifts. Well, thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson with Kent Steinbach. We look forward to the next opportunity to be with you as we study God's Word.